so I'm going to say it. But before I open the Word, there's a couple things I need to say. One is we've been coming in and out of Crossroads for the last 14 plus years, involved in things, praying over things, watching how the Lord has worked and what He has done. It's been an absolute joy, and it's beyond a joy for me to stand here now and open the Word with you. I am so delighted to be able to do this, and I would have loved to have been here a few weeks ago when Jenny actually gave the message. However, with social media and online, we got to read it and hear it. But I do have a story about Jenny. A few, but just one. This was back when I was attending Fuller Seminary, way back. She was maybe three, and I was doing an internship. The Fuller was in Pasadena, but I was doing an internship at a church as associate pastor in Glendale, California. And on this particular afternoon, I was doing some paperwork and whatever that was needed, and I happened to have, must have picked her up from daycare, I don't know, and she was maybe 3 years old, took her to the church, and I did the office work. And what I loved to do was, when I had the two girls at the time, I'd bring them up to the stage on the platform, turn the whole sound system on, it would seat a couple hundred people, and then just tell them, sing, have fun. And I'd go do office work. Well, this day it was just Jenny. And so I turned the mics on and had her up on the mic, and then I went off and did the paperwork and the bulletin, whatever I was doing. And I got so tickled, because she was just singing away and just, I don't know, all the songs, probably singing Jehoshaphat's Battle, I'm sure, come from her mother. Anyway, she was just singing away, and I got so tickled, I got to go see this. And I kind of snuck out of the office. It was real close to the sanctuary. And slid into the back, by the back column there. She didn't know I was in. She was just singing away. And pretty soon she happened to look and saw me. She froze, dropped the mic, boom, and stopped. The point of the story, I think that's the one and only time she's ever had stage fright. They had so much fun. Well, when I was asked to do this, I immediately came to this text. I'm not sure why. I'll say the Lord directed me. Take that however you wish. I was drawn to this text because I've done various things about the text, various texts, of things that are behind and around the text that maybe the text isn't actually saying. So this is about his mom, Jesus' mom, and I'll refer to her as Miriam. We know her as Mary. And this wine that came from, my conclusion is, it came from heaven. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But this wedding took place in Cana of Galilee, and the significance of Cana is that it's fairly close to Nazareth. And I'm going to show you a map in just a minute, but I wanted to lay this a little bit before you. There's these three cities, Nazareth and Cana and Sepphoris, and they're kind of a triangle of cities that are up in the hills just above the valley of Jezreel, where Megiddo is, and it's close to the caravan, the Via Maris, and where all that traffic came from. So it was sort of out of the way, but not that far out of the way. And the other thing about this passage is we need to understand is that Jewish weddings didn't just last for, you know, half an hour and then you had a reception and everybody went home. A Jewish wedding lasted for days, sometimes 6, sometimes 7 days, depending on where it connected with the Sabbath. But it was days long, and you had family and friends and second and third cousins twice removed. I mean, they were all there. And from these three cities in particular, there was this connection, and they were all at this wedding. Now, what we don't know, and this is stuff that's not said in the text, either the wedding celebration went longer than expected, or there were more people that showed up. than they expected. For some reason, they didn't have enough wine. Now, the banquet coordinator realized this and got a little panicked. Now, what's not said here is how Mary knew about this. Well, she was a mother and at a wedding. I mean, mothers know everything. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. Mothers know everything. Somehow she knew and she was aware of this and she was very concerned that this would bring, and you heard the word shame in the song that we sang. Now, that just doesn't hit us all that hard. But I want you to know, in the Jewish context of this wedding or any situation, this thing of shame is a big deal. And it was a big deal that was about to explode and ruin the wedding and bring shame on not only the bridegroom, but the master of ceremonies, the wedding coordinator, whatever you want to call him, who had organized this whole thing. Now, and we don't know what day this was. Was it the second day or the third day? They finally realized, we got three more days of this, and we're going to run out. So I don't think they had run out at that time, but his mother saw what was happening, realized this shame was significant. Now, before I get to the shame, I want to show you a map of this area. I don't know if you can see that very well, but I want you to, can you see Jerusalem? I want you to see Jerusalem, and just to the right is the Dead Sea, so you get a little context, and then as you go off to the left, you'll see the Mediterranean Sea. This event didn't happen anywhere near Jerusalem. Now, if I was writing the story and I wanted to do the first miracle of Jesus and I wanted to introduce him, you know, where I would have written the story, in Jerusalem, of course, the capital where the temple was, I would have started there. But no, we're up in Cana of Galilee. So just look at the Jerusalem and then start working your eyeballs north. Can you find Cana up there? I don't know if you can see that. But there's Cana, and well, you see Nazareth, we all know Nazareth, and then Cana is part of that three cities. Now, the next slide shows you the little triangle of these three cities and how close they are to the Via Maris, which is the line that's going up through there, and then you see the Sea of Galilee. So now you can see those three cities. There's a fourth one in there, but it's really quite insignificant. I want you to catch Nazareth, Sepphoris, and Cana, so that you had in your mind kind of where this was. Now, one other thing is take your eyeballs and go a little bit up and to the right. On the north shore of the Sea of Galilee is Capernaum. You've heard of Capernaum, and this is where Jesus established his ministry for the 3 years. This is kind of his home base. It wasn't Nazareth, it wasn't Cana, and it wasn't Sepphoris. But those three cities are the key element, and there were people from these three cities at this wedding. Cousins, second cousins, and all kinds of people that knew whoever was being married. We don't even know who that was. The important thing is mom. That's the centerpiece of this story. All right, let's go back, and here's kind of how it went. Mary to Jesus. They're out of wine. Jesus to Mary. Not my problem. It's not my time. Mary to servants. Now, there's a lot that's not said right here. You know, Mary and Jesus, Jesus to Mary. She turns to the servants. I know something was said here, but I don't know what. She says to them, do whatever he says. I got to throw this in. Mothers, you have a way of pulling the mother card. Now, it's not in the text, but I can't help. I can't help, but I carried you for 9 months. I had to travel 60 miles to get where I delivered you. I had an excruciating birth. I nursed you for 2 years. Therefore, Have you ever played that card, Mom? Now, I don't know that that's what's going on here, but man, I sure feel it. I sure feel it. She's got him. Now, remember, he's 30 years old, for goodness sake. He's not a 12-year-old that Mom can... She's been waiting, pondering. You know, the scripture says she's been pondering this since she first heard what God wanted to do through her for him. 30 years she's been pondering this. All right, here we go. Then she goes to the servants and says, okay, do whatever he says. And Jesus is over here. I just have to feel like he's going, okay, okay. Here's what we're going to do. Fill those pots. Now, did you notice when you sang that? They were for purification. They were for washing. They were not for wine. They were for other purposes. And Jesus, it's almost like a rant. He says, fill those. Let's see what happens. Fill those water pots. My question is, do you actually think that Miriam, his mother, knew what he was going to do? Well, we're great Monday morning quarterbacks. We can look back on this story and we'll say, sure, we know what's... But you have to think in the context of that story, Mom was... Now's your chance to finally do something. We've been waiting. Do something spectacular here. This could be the beginning. So Jesus says, fill them up. We had no grapes. I mean, there was no wine press. There's no fermentation process. There's no recorded prayer. There's no acknowledgement from God. We didn't have some wine prayer from heaven. No special laying on of hands. Just jars that were there. These jars were originally for purification. They were just regular jars. I love the kids' program, Ordinary People, this morning. It was great because he uses us ordinary people. He uses ordinary jars. He uses what he has. So Jesus says this to the servants. Now, after he's had them filled with wine, give some to the feast coordinator. So they dip this, what they thought was water, I call it wine from heaven, bring it over. Do you think they knew what was in there? Brought it over, and the wine coordinator drinks it, and we have this amazing reaction. Wow. Now, I'm not going to deal with, was it wine, two parts water, one part grape juice, through. There's a big, huge argument about what actually was it. We're just using the word wine, and what we do know is it was the best. Now, throw up these jugs. I just wanted to kind of have an idea of what they look like. There's two or three slides here that show these purification containers. Now, if you and I had done this, we would have probably made sure there was enough wine for the guests to last the 3 or 4 days. Did you catch how much wine was made in these at least 6 jars? I mean, multiply, these are 20, 30 gallons each, 6. There was enough wine here to last weeks, way beyond the wedding, way beyond the needs of this household. There was a huge amount of wine. Again, we say, Jesus really went overboard. He made sure the wine was taken care of for the wedding, but he was also sure that it took care of this family for a very long time. Now, there's another picture here that shows, I wanted to show you this because it was just a cute picture. Maybe I didn't even notice. Did he already show the one of Mary in the background? Bring that one up. I want to see that one. Because it's a good picture of Jesus, and it shows him, you know, he's got his hand over the jug, and it shows the servants, but I couldn't pass this one up, because who's in the background? Right behind him is his mother. Oh, goody. He did it. I knew he would. I knew he could do this. I wanted you to see that because there is a huge amount of Jewish, what I would call Jewish humor in this miracle. Very big amount. Now, and the next slide was just to show you this is real stuff. Because in the archaeological digs around Sepphoris and Nazareth and Cana, that's what you'll find. If you go there today, you will actually see these jugs of water, or jugs for water, and very much like the wine jars that were used at the wedding. Now, let's go back to the wedding, the actual celebration. It was a seven-day celebration, community event, very familiar event for the Jewish listeners as John writes this story. Everybody who reads this story, as John wrote, we know all about these weddings. Family, friends, neighbors included, Mary and her family there. Jesus had already left home and had left Nazareth, had already selected some disciples. And my question was, did Jesus come to this wedding to do this miracle? What do you think? Did he come there for the purpose of performing the very first miracle? My answer is no. He came because he was invited and brought his disciples, and one of the disciples who was asked to come and follow this Jesus of Nazareth, one of the disciples who was from the area around the Galilee, he was asked, let's come and follow this rabbi, Jesus, from Nazareth. And his response, this is Nathanael's response, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I tried to frame this in the framework for today. It'd be like saying, where are you from, Tim Doden? Grafton. Do I dare say it? Yeah. Can anything good come out of Grafton? I'm just saying Nazareth of those three cities was the least significant. Sepphoris was being built by Herod's son, Philip the Tetrarch, as his center at the time of Jesus. So Sepphoris was kind of I won't call it uppity, but was more significant, had more wealth, and there was a lot of construction going on there, which Jesus and his dad probably went up and worked as construction workers in Sepphoris. Whereas Cana was more of a military presence. When the centurion came to Jesus and said, I want you to heal my servant, would you pray for my servant? Well, it says he's from Cana. So we kind of have a hint that there was a military presence. Nazareth just didn't rise to that level. Isn't that interesting? The Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, did not come from Jerusalem. He came from Nazareth. When he came to this wedding in Cana, he came for the purpose of enjoying a wedding. And then mom steps in. Now notice in all the Gospels, John is the only Gospel that this is recorded in. Now there's something about Jesus' mother, Miriam, that's interesting here. Because I asked the question, it's not in the other Gospels, but it's in this one. How come it's in this one? And this happens a lot. There's various comparisons of the Gospels, but this is an interesting one because this particular story connects John with Mary. Now, do you remember a connection between John and Mary? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said, you know, all the famous things that we hear about, but he finally said, John, here's your mother now. Take care of her. This is the same mother. This is Mary. And we have evidence that Mary followed John, became a disciple, was with John, and we were in Ephesus a few years ago, and here was stuff about Mary in Ephesus. Now, I'm not going to try to venerate Mary, beyond, that's an argument for other people for other days. What I am going to say is Mary had a significant role here in this first miracle, and she had a significant role in the life and ministry of the growing church, clear to the end. We have evidence that she was buried at Ephesus, where John was the bishop, and there were seven churches of Revelation. This was John's circuit. Mary was involved in that, clear to the end. Now, the significant thing about this wedding that I really see as crucial, first of all, it's his mom. And second of all, something happened in the relationship between Jesus and his mother at that moment. Because his comment was, "It's not my time." And I went, "Okay, when is your time? It's been 30 years. His mom is saying, "It's about time." He said, "It's not my time." This is not in the text. This is Jim Hilbrick's interpretation of the text. He told his mother, "I'll do this for you this time. Ready for this? Don't ever do this again." That's my feeling of the text. Not that he put his mother down, but something changed with his mother. And what was that change? The next verse after this story says, after the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother. Everybody say, with his mother. Come on, say it. With his mother. John sticks that in there. With his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. There's something that happened here that moved Mary from being mom to disciple. She was still his mom. We know that from the cross and Jesus continually having this deep connection with her and having John take care of her. We know that connection never was lost. And we also have an episode Matthew records where Jesus did come back to Nazareth and he was teaching and there were crowds everywhere. His mom and his brothers came to the disciples and said, "We want to talk to Jesus. Tell him his mom and his brothers are here." What was Jesus' response? "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my family? It's those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Did he diss his mom? Did he diss his family? Did he put them down? No. You have to have the Jewish context here to know that was not what he said. He just simply said, it's one thing to have a role and a place and a calling in life, but it's another elevated role to move into being my disciple. And I think this is what happened at this story of the wedding in Cana. First of all, not even God messed with mom. I was hoping that would get a laugh. Because we don't have an intervention of God when she says, "Jesus, do something." He simply did what his mom said to do. And as I mentioned, for 30 years, she pondered all this stuff in her heart. But at this moment, she became his disciples. Throughout the next 3 years, we have references to Jesus and his disciples and moving from here and moving to there. And it always says, "and the women." He went here and had his disciples and the women followed him. Now, we aren't listed. Those women aren't listed specifically. But we know Joanna, who was the wife of the finance minister of Herod, who lived in Sepphoris, supported Jesus' ministry, and I have a feeling she and Mary were tight. They were his followers. She became a disciple. She became a church leader. And as I said, I'm not trying to venerate Mary, but I'm just trying to use this episode as a turning point from Mary as mom to Mary as disciples. Now, moms, you're an incredible presence and force in the kingdom of God. So, you know, always be the mom. You're always going to be the mom. I mean, even when they're 50 years old, you're going to be the mom. And every once in a while, you'll play the mom card. I know you will. You'll throw that out. And oftentimes, the kingdom of God is moved because mom said so. always be the mom. But be a mom who is a disciple and a follower of this Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth. Because as you move from your role in life, be it a husband, a father, a boss, an employee, independent contractor, whatever you might be, it might be significant, you may have people around you, those are all significant, and there is no way are we saying or suggesting that you should abandon those things. But what is being suggested by this text is there is a time and there is an event where you move from the role that you have to making sure that you are a disciple of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And what might just happen is supernatural intervention of God that may just follow. Miracles and mom. Mom and miracles. Let me just give a final prayer over this. Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you this day, and for this people I pray, in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.